We'll just read verses 17 through verse 19. It came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them, that is, these Pharisees and doctors of law and everyone else that was gathered. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. This, of course, is Luke's account of how four individuals carried a paralytic on his bed to where Jesus was, and we know that Jesus would heal this man. It's also recorded in Matthew chapter 9, and Mark chapter 2. Mark provides the most detail, and it is from his account that we learn that this was a return trip to Capernaum. From Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days." And if you read Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 37, you learn what happened the first time, the previous trip to Capernaum. We see there in the synagogue, he taught, which amazed the people. His doctrine, his manner of teaching surprised people. In the same synagogue, he delivered a demon-possessed man from a demon. Again, leaving all the people amazed and talking among themselves. And as a result of this, in verse 28 of Mark chapter 1, his fame spread abroad throughout all the region. And we learn also at that from that previous trip in Capernaum that Simon and Andrew had a house there, and Jesus entered that house with James and John and miraculously healed Simon's mother-in-law, and news would spread that Jesus was in that house, and a multitude would gather, and they would bring their diseased, the possessed, and Jesus healed them. And then we read in Mark 1, verse 37, as a result of this, all men were seeking Christ, not for salvation purposes, but all men were seeking Christ, the miracles of Christ. And in verse 38, to escape the frenzy, Jesus leaves Capernaum, goes down into Galilee, and preaches there, and now he's come back to Capernaum. And we read in Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not know so much about the door. And with this great gathering, we read in verse 2 that of Mark chapter 2, he preached unto them. And that's where we pick up in our text here in Luke chapter 5. Now notice verse 18 and 19 again. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitudes, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And we want to take the thought tonight from into the midst before Jesus. You've heard me preach from this account many times. There's much here to be gathered, great lessons concerning faith. It's almost unlimited what we can gather from this account. But tonight we're not going to concern ourselves with all the details of the account. We just want to focus upon into the midst before Jesus. There are three words in that phrase that indicate position or location. You have the word into, you have the word midst, and you have the word before. All three indicative of location. Now, into has reference to the house itself. Came into the house where Jesus was. The word midst would describe the location in relation to the house. Where he was in the house was in the midst. In the midst. That means there would be people behind, there would be people before, there would be people on all sides. And then the next word, of course, is before, and that describes his position in relation to Jesus Christ, which, of course, is what is most important here. The paralytic is in the house. He's in the middle of the house, and he is before Jesus. Into the midst, before Jesus. And again, it's before Jesus that we want to focus upon. Remember, he's lying upon his bed. He is a paralytic. He is before Jesus. Could he have been in a better place that day? Could he have possibly been in a better place that day? The answer is no. He was in the best place that he could be before Jesus. And that's what we want to speak upon tonight, the best place to be. And the best place to be is where this man was, before Jesus. So let's consider his position. We see four men from Mark chapter 2 carrying a pallet, a bed, a cot. And on that cot was this man who had a paralysis. They heard that Jesus was in this house, that Jesus had returned to Capernaum. They make their way to the house where Jesus was. No doubt, fully expecting to enter the house by the door. But when they got there, as we all know, there's no way to get to the door because of the crowd, because of the multitude of people. But they're determined to get to where Jesus is. So they make their way to the roof of the house, which of course would have been no easy task, especially carrying a man on his bed. They get up on top of the roof. They move around on the roof of that house, no doubt trying to figure out precisely where Jesus is in that house. When they come to the place where they figure, because they could hear the muffled sounds, where Jesus was, they cut a hole in the roof large enough to let this cot down into the house. And they lower the cot with the paralytic upon it. And again, it was in the midst before Jesus. It's not so important that it was in the midst of the house. What's important here is that it was in the midst before Jesus. There was no better place to lower that pallet. I believe the Lord directed in the lowering of that pallet. The Lord directed in where they would cut the hole in the roof. And the Lord knew that, and Jesus Christ knew they were coming. And he was standing in that precise place. The hole was made and the pallet was lowered down into the roof. This wasn't a surprise to Jesus. He didn't look up and say, "What in the world's going on?" He knew exactly what was happening. And he knew why they were there. There were many in that house, without a question. But this man is in the midst before Jesus. He's not the only one in the middle of that house. And certainly he's not the only one who would have Jesus in front of them. But he's the only one that had it in this way for Jesus. He was there in a very special way. Of all the people in that house that day, it is said specifically of this man, no one else, that he was before Jesus. So there he is in the midst before Jesus. He's a paralytic, so he's passive. He's passive as he lies there before Jesus. This is a position that we ought to seek every single day of our lives. To be before Jesus. Before Jesus. Passive. For whatever he wants to do with us. So consider his position. Consider six things concerning his position. He's in a position where he can feel the very presence of Christ. He can not only see Christ, but he can feel. He's close enough to feel the presence of Christ. And as we've preached many times before, this man did not get stuck outside in the multitude. He did not get stuck up on the roof. Had he gotten stuck out in the multitude, he would have known of the presence of Christ in that house. Had he got stuck up on the roof, never getting down into the house, he would have still known the presence of Christ in the house. But he wouldn't have known it the way he does now, in the midst, before Jesus. And we can be aware of the presence of Christ, but that's not the same thing as being in a position where we can feel the very presence of Jesus Christ. And that's where this man is. And though he's in the midst, and again, people are all around him, he, like no one else in that house, felt the presence of Christ in a very special way. I believe that he so felt the presence of Christ that he was oblivious to all the people that were around him. It was as if he was the only one in that house. We need to seek to get there every day. We know there are multitudes before Jesus, but it ought to be our desire to get before him as if we are the only one, where we feel the presence of the Lord. So he's before Jesus in such a way that it was like he's the only one there. And what a difference he felt there. Don't you think he felt something different in that house before Jesus than he felt out in the multitude when they were trying to get in? When they were up on the roof trying to get in, he feels something entirely different in this house before Jesus. So again, I ask you, could he have been in a better place? The answer is no. He's in the place to be. And it is the place to be for you and I. To get to that place where we can feel the presence of Jesus Christ. He's also in a position where he could see Jesus. Had he gotten stuck out in the multitude? Had he gotten stuck up upon the roof? Had he gotten stuck out in the multitude, all he would be able to see was the people. Had he gotten stuck up on the roof, all he could see was the roof. Well, after they cut a hole, he could see the people below. But now he's in a special place where he can look upon from his bed and he sees Jesus standing. Standing there preaching and teaching. And I'm sure that it was not just a careless gaze when he looked upon Jesus. But as he's lying there on his bed, he looks up, he sees Jesus, and his eyes are fixed upon Jesus Christ. That's the place to be. The place where you can fix your eyes upon Him. Now, no doubt, there was a lot going on in that house. A lot of different people in that house. And they're there for different reasons. When all the people there, this man is fixed upon Jesus Christ. This needs to be our place when we come to the house of God. We need to be in a place where we can feel the presence of the Lord. A place where we can see Jesus Christ. And our eyes are fixed upon Him. So there He is before Jesus. And I don't picture Him looking around, seeing if there's anyone in the house that He might know. All His attention is upon Jesus Christ. Not only do things feel differently before Jesus, but as He's lying there on His bed, things look different. Again, he began out there in the multitude. Things look quite differently now. Then they made their way up to the roof. And things look quite differently now in the midst before Jesus than they did out there in the multitude, than they did up upon the roof. You see, everything feels different now, and everything looks different now. All because of where He is. And you and I would be amazed at how things feel different when you're where He is, before Jesus. Things look different. There are a lot of people who have I'm talking about God's people, who have a very poor outlook upon life, a very poor viewpoint. And it's because they're not viewing things from the right position. But when you're in the midst before Jesus, things look different. They just look different. There's a beauty. There's a hope. So again, I ask, could he have been in a better place than before Jesus? And again, the answer is no. He's in the place to be. There is no better place. Thirdly, he was in a position where he could hear Jesus Christ. Again, he didn't get stuck out in the multitude. What would he have heard out there in the multitude? Well, he would have mostly heard the people. He didn't get stuck up on the roof, where I'm sure they could hear the muffled sound of the voice of Christ and what was going on. But now he's where he can hear. Where he can hear very clearly the voice of Jesus. You know, a lot of people talk about seeking God's will. Let me tell you something. In seeking God's will, you'd better make sure you get to a place where you can hear Him. because there's no knowing His will without hearing Him. And the best place to hear Him is right before Him. Right before Him. In a passive position. I'm sure there are a lot of other voices. A lot of other noises in that house. But this man, before Jesus, heard Jesus say to him personally, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He didn't hear that out in the multitude. He didn't hear that up on the roof. It was before Jesus that he heard those words. And don't you think that those words filled his heart with joy? There's a joy to be found before Jesus. Oh, we hear a lot of things, a lot of nonsense, a lot of things that we wish we didn't hear out in the world. But you get to where you get before Jesus, you can hear Him. So again, could he have been in a better place? No. He's in the place to be. Everything feels and looks and sounds different before Jesus. And this man learned that day. Fourthly, he's in a position where he receives personal instruction from Christ. Again, he didn't get stuck out in the multitude. Oh, out there he would have heard all kinds of instruction. "Did you ever try such and such?" they might say to him. "You know, I had an aunt that had the same problem you have, and she did this, and maybe if you did that, you'd be able to walk." Oh, he'd hear all kinds of things out there in the multitude. But he's in the midst before Jesus, and there he is instructed, and he can see and he can hear the instructor. Very clearly. He can see the instructor. He can hear him very clearly. And Jesus, the instructor, in verse 24 says, "Arise." That is, get off your bed. And take up thy bed. Pick it up. And go into thine house. That is, carry it home. He received instruction that would change his life. That would change his life. Again, I ask, could he have been in a better place? No. He's in the place to be. Fifthly, he is in a position where he can now personally experience and receive from Jesus Christ. Again, he didn't get stuck on the outside in the multitude. He didn't get stuck upon the roof. Had he got stuck out in the multitude, such would have very greatly limited his experience. Had he got stuck up on the roof, it would have greatly limited his experience. Oh, there were some things he could talk about had he got stuck out in the multitude. There were some things he could talk about had he got stuck upon the roof. But he would not have had the experience that he had before Jesus. So it is today. Many don't receive and many don't experience what they could because they're not in a position to receive it, to experience it. Notice verse 25. Of Luke chapter 5. We see the Lord has given him his instruction. And immediately, He rose up. How did He do that? It is the result of strength imparted. God had already worked the miracle. And by the strength that God had imparted to him, he rose up. He didn't rise up and then get strength. He couldn't do that. God gave him strength and he rose up. The strength came through the word of Christ. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up his bed. How did he do that? God imparted strength. So it was before Jesus that he was enabled to do the impossible. He was enabled to do the impossible. And now look at him. Look at him now. The very same man who was lying on a cot, he's now standing. And he's holding his bed. He's standing before all. And all can see him. And they can see that he's holding his bed. This man is the recipient of a miracle. And where did it occur? Before Jesus. I believe we would experience miracles all the time if we got to that position and stayed there before Jesus. So look at him. There he stands, holding his bed. This is a blessed man. He has been blessed of God. And again, I ask, could he have been in a better place? No. This is the place to be. Before Jesus. Sixthly, he is in a position where a great change, a life change, this wasn't just a momentary change, a life change took place. This man didn't just get up, hold his bed, walk out of the house, walk a little ways from the house, and then collapse and have to be carried home. A change had taken place. And where did it happen? Before Jesus. Again, he didn't get stuck outside in the multitude. He didn't get stuck up on the roof. But he's in the midst before Jesus. And there, he was enabled by God to rise up, hold his bed in his hands, and then we read in verse 25, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. He didn't have to be carried home. He carried his bed all the way home and he glorified God all the way home. In other words, he left that place changed. He's changed. His whole life, his manner of living has been changed. Be sure of this. There is a life-changing power before Jesus. Before Jesus. Could he have been in a better place? No. This is the place to be. This is the place to be for you and I. Is there ever a time when it's not the place to be? No, this is the place to be always. Now notice, in the midst, before Jesus. And we could preach another message on this, but whatever the midst consisted of, we know that the Pharisees were there and the doctors of the law were there, despisers of Christ. in the midst before Jesus. The midst can consist of a lot of things. Our own midst can consist of desperate situations. But there he was in the midst. And again, we can be in the midst of desperate situations, but it makes all the difference in the world before Jesus. You can just be in the midst of desperate situations and you'll get desperate. But if you're in the midst of desperate situations before Jesus, everything feels different, everything looks different, and everything sounds different. You can be in the midst of desperate conditions and needs, cares and burdens, difficulties and problems, trials, tribulations, stresses, pressures, afflictions, temptations, battles and struggles, and storms and fears and uncertainties. But here's what makes the difference before Jesus. Don't just be in the midst of those things, but in the midst before Jesus. That's the place to be. That's the place to be for each one of us tonight, before Jesus. So how did he come to this position? How did he get there? How do we get there? Before Jesus. In the three gospel accounts, we read the phrase, sick of the palsy, 9 times. It describes the condition of this individual who was carried to where Jesus was. 5 individuals. The man on the bed, and there were 4 who carried the bed. But these 5 individuals all knew with absolute certainty that this man was a paralytic. They knew that. No one had to tell him. No one had to tell the man on his bed, hey, do you know you're paralyzed? No one had to tell him that. He knew. They recognized, all 5, recognized, there is a difference between knowing and recognizing. They knew and they recognized and they were fully aware that this man had a need beyond any of them. The man on the bed knew that, recognized it, and was aware of it. The ones who carried the bed knew it, recognized it, and were aware of it. So what does that tell us? They knew that they were in need of a miracle. They knew that. We need to know that every single day. Whatever else is in the midst doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What we need to know every single day is I need a work of God upon my life today. I need a miracle today. And there's never a day when that's not so. But we need to know it. We need to recognize it. We need to be aware of it. These 5 individuals also, of course, possessed faith. They were absolutely persuaded, they were absolutely convinced that Jesus was greater than this man's paralysis. They were certain that Jesus was sufficient. That Jesus Christ was able to do what this man needed. Are we aware of that tonight? Are we absolutely persuaded that Jesus Christ is sufficient, that Jesus Christ is able to do what I need. And they also knew that Jesus Christ was the best thing for them. There was no other place to be. Jesus was in that house. We've got to get to that house because Jesus is what is best for me. And that's true for each one of us. Jesus Christ is what is best for each and every one of us. So wisdom would tell us, get to where Jesus is. He's what's best. I've had people sit and tell me, Brother Dan, I'm doing what's best for me. Oh, how foolish. As they try to explain why they're not in church, I'm just doing what's best for me. They've been duped by Satan. What's best for every human being is Jesus Christ. And to be in His presence. And to be near to Him. And it doesn't matter what else is in the midst. It does not change this fact. Jesus Christ is what is best for me at any time. I believe these five individuals knew that. And they also believed that Jesus was able to deliver this man. He was able to cure this man. He was able to restore this man's life. They believed that. So they had faith. Well, what kind of faith did they have? Their faith caused them to be committed, unwavering, and passionate in getting to where Jesus was. Their faith gave them a desire to be where Jesus was. Don't talk about God-given faith and not wanting to be where Jesus is. God-given faith brings a desire to be where Jesus is. So they had a desire to be where Jesus was. And this desire was so strong that it caused them to pursue a nearness to Christ. Notice verse 18. They sought means to bring Him in and to lay Him before Jesus. They were in pursuit of Christ because of faith. That's what faith does. Faith causes one to desire Christ and causes one to pursue Christ. Now, in their journey to get to where Jesus was, were they not completely focused upon Christ? That's what faith does. Their faith moved them in the direction of Christ. Now, what would you think if these four men and the man on the bed, they said, Jesus is in such and such a house. We believe with all our heart that He's what this man needs. And then they headed in the opposite direction. What would you think? That's what people do all the time. They tell you, oh, I believe, and they head in the opposite direction. Faith always moves in the direction of Christ. Faith will never lead you away from the Lord. It always leads in the direction of Christ. So their faith caused them to pursue a nearness to Christ. Not only did it cause them to move in the direction of Christ, it caused them to persevere toward Christ. Because anytime you move in the direction of Christ, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be things that get in the way. And most of the time it'll be people. That multitude was in the way. But they persevered. And as they got to that house, I'm sure there were aches and pains, difficulties along the way. But faith perseveres. Their faith caused them to be determined, caused them to have a purpose, and caused them to be unceasing in their movement toward Christ. Whatever obstacle was in the way, their mindset is, we've got to get to where Jesus is. That needs to always be our mindset. I've got to get to where Jesus is. There will be many obstacles. There will be many voices. Their faith did not allow them to be indifferent in this matter. Why didn't they just go to any other house? Because Jesus wasn't there. They had to get to where Jesus was. Their faith would not allow them to be content with anything less than getting exactly where Jesus is. They weren't content out in the multitude. And there were a lot of religious folks out in that multitude. But they weren't content just hanging around religious folks. They needed to get to where Jesus was. So it is. Faith does not allow you to be content with just being around religious people. Though they might be good people. They needed Jesus. They knew that in Jesus there was help. There was healing, there was relief, there was joy, there was fulfillment, there was encouragement, there was peace, and there was victory. They knew that. And they persevered. Certainly we know that tonight. And we need to persevere in faith. Each one of us as an individual, I've got to get to where Jesus is. That needs to be our mindset every day. Their faith would not allow them to be deterred in the pursuit of Christ. It doesn't take much to deter most. It doesn't take much. Because faith is weak or non-existent. Great faith will not be deterred by people, or by a roof, by obstacles. Their faith did not allow them to get bogged down or stuck anywhere short of Jesus Christ. The devil will do everything in his power to get you and I bogged down and to get stuck somewhere short of Jesus Christ. But faith says, I can't stay here. I can't get bogged down here. It could be an attitude, anger, whatever. It could be many things. We get bogged down many places. But faith says, I can't get bogged down here. This isn't what I need. I need Jesus. I need to get before Him. He's got what I need. And I need to get to where He is. That's what faith does. It's what it did in the lives of these individuals. It's what it does today. So their faith caused them to rise above the people in the way. Faith will cause us to rise above people that get in the way. And faith caused them to move beyond obstacles. The roof. Faith enables us to move beyond obstacles. And the end result of it all was before Jesus. That was the end result. The best place to be. Oh, that we would have faith that would cause us not just to get before Jesus, but to live there. But to live there. To stay there. It's the best place to be. This world is filled with all kinds of stuff that gets between us and Christ. And that's not what's best for us. What's best for us is to get as close to Jesus Christ as I can possibly get. And when we get that close, we can still get closer. As we saw Sunday night. What a place to be. Before we come to the house of God, we ought to be before Jesus. When we get to the house of God, we ought to be before Jesus. When we go to work in the morning, you ought to be before Jesus. Whatever's going on, this is the place to be. Before Jesus. Oh, that we would have that faith. Again, you can't just determine in your mind, I agree with you, Brother Dan, I'm going to start doing that. It won't work. You got to have faith. You got to have a faith that enables you to do this. To get before Jesus. There will be plenty of obstacles. There will be obstacles where you don't expect obstacles. People will get in the way that you didn't expect to get in the way. But faith just keeps moving. Because faith knows this is the best place I can be before Him. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.